Turn in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We'll be looking at a couple other passages and some verses today. And we're not going to do strict exposition in the sense of looking at verses 25 through 33 of Ephesians 5 and covering everything that's in them. We're not going to be doing a running commentary. We're going to be taking one point, basically, from Ephesians 5:25 and developing that along the lines of biblical teaching. And we're going to call this message, "This is How to Love Your Wife." So if you would, for the reading of the Word of God, let us stand. I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. Hear the Word of the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, you must come on in and do this thing. Otherwise, it's just going to sound like a bunch of do this, do that, this, that, psychological things we've heard before, things we won't buy into, things that don't, you know, that may tickle our itching ears or soap up our stony hearts. We need your word to bring light. Now is the time for the Lord to act. Diminish me, be magnified, Lord Jesus. Help us understand what it means in the sense of loving our wives, that you loved us and gave yourself for us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, we're sitting around a house yesterday. And I'm not such a handy man, Joe. I'm not real good with, like, fixing things. Like, if I put something together with instructions, well, it's more providence than miracle, but we call it miracle. And I'm getting to something here, but I want you to see something that God showed me. And so we're trying to fix the dryer. It won't turn. And Margie's already, she knows, you know, I'm not very good with my hands. And she's like, okay, we're going to call, you know, we'll call Welch. We'll call the, and I'm thinking, yeah, I like Brad. He's a Christian. We talk and we have to tell each other, okay, we got to go. I got work. You got work. But that $60 I don't want to spend plus whatever the part is and all that. And I just feel like less than a man. Because here I got my big mouth, my big brain, and hopefully a big heart. But my hands, I just don't know what I'm doing. I mean, you can be a genius but not know how to fix a washing machine or a dryer or something like that. So I start going through every little thing and praying, God, come on, please. I want to look good. I want to get this done. I don't want to spend the money. I'm going to go to Olive Garden when it opens instead or something. I don't know. Yeah. So, I'm trying every little thing. And so, there's lint. You know, there's the lint guard. So we pull the lint guard out, get it all cleaned up, and then I notice underneath that there's a bunch right there. And then there's a hole right here, so I take my back scratcher, and it fits down there perfectly, and I'm scooping all this out, and I'm scooping it out. I'm thinking, it's the lint. So Margie, you know, she's helping me now. She's helping her man. Well, maybe it's that thing in the back. So we scoop the thing out. I know I'm pathetic or whatever. But, ooh, that's going to burn you. And so we pull it out, and there's that duct work thingy with the clasp thingy. We pull it out and try to get in, you know, get our arm in there on both sides. You know, and you blow it, and your wife's on the other end. Oh, you know, dust cloud. And so we're doing all this and screaming, and we get all the lint out. The lint's out of the room. The thing is perfect. We get it back, pushing it back. Oh, yeah, come on. And then, you know, it's making this, so some kind of electric's there. But I still pull the thing out and go to the breaker and flip it back and forth and try each one and then this one and then that one. And so the lights are going on in the house or whatever, you know. You didn't notice that part because you were still trying to clean the lint. And I was sitting there trying to be doctor I don't know what. So we do that, and that's not working. It's not working. Well, we tried a few more things. I took the little knob off and took a little Q-tip and got the lint out of there. And I'm thinking, it's the contact. I know it's the contact. Not that I know what that really does. So I'm fiddling around, thinking, trying to push the metal a little closer to the other metal, hoping I don't get shocked. Oh, yeah, I better unplug it again. And I'm doing this and that. I took a little wrench. I'm sitting there doing everything I knew how to do, which is nothing. And so then it's like, oh, no, I can see. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. He's going to come in there. He's going to go and fix the thing. And in case you guys are listening on your sermon audio or whatever, like, you know, you take your finger in your mouth and go, boop, touch something and it works. They got the magic touch. He's a man, not me. So about this time, I said one last prayer. I said, Lord, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to go as far as I can with everything I know, and then, you know, I'll just trust you. Not trust that it'll make it right, but trust whatever you say. If you want me to spend the $60 because you don't want me to go to Olive Garden, then okay. And I just get down in there, and I think, I don't know. I'm going to spin the thing myself if I have to. And I get there, and I start doing this like this. You know, and I'm spinning that thing, and now I'm just going Hulk. You know, and I'm getting mad. It's going to work. Put it in there now. There's no heat in it, you know. Well, you know, we did all that, and I guess there was something in there. It was loose or something, because then all of a sudden, and she wasn't looking, so then I'm walking out, you know. I am Mr. Handyman. You got yourself a man. I can preach, I can teach, I can be a plumber. Hallelujah. Man, I'm doing it. And she's like, well, what did you do? And I didn't want to tell her. Like, all I did was do this. And she's... And then she's not excited about it. She goes, what do you want? I said, I want praise. I want you to tell me. I'm a man. Six grandchildren, not a man, though, you know? Not a man. So anyway, the truth is that I did all I knew how to do with all the information that I had, and I wasn't afraid to be embarrassed and just try to do some more. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, not your own path, but the path God puts you on. Because it's God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. And if I might give you a little paraphrase about that, you know, God is really one that's sovereign. He's working in you, but he's working as you're working. Just like he told Joshua, as much land as you want to take, I'll give you. But you got to go and get it. It mattered to me. Not just because of the money, but I wanted to, you know. I thought, if I can do this, I'll look cool to my wife. And I did all that I could with all that I had, and right at the end, it worked. So we had the dryer, the not so handy man, but God works when we work. That's the point. And again, this message is called, This is How to Love Your Wife. And so for guys, it's easy to say, okay, give me something to do. Here comes. Ready? Now, this is about more than what the title says. We could, again, call this, This is How to Win a Heart. We had a sermon that will be featured next week on Sermon Audio, by the way, called This is How to Open a Heart. And we could call that a continuation of that. And we could say, this is how to win someone's heart, or really, this is how to prove your love, or this is how to keep a heart. Because you can open a heart. She's listening to you, but how do you keep that thing open? How do you stay open for business? The grand opening of the Olive Garden that I've mentioned 3 or 4 times already. See, we're a little town here, and you know, it's big news. See, that's why you got to be at church. You just can't get those things if you're on the radio. Yeah, well, the thing is you can open it up, but how do they keep the business going? There'll be the excitement at first. Oh, he pays attention. He cares. You know, what do we say at the end of that sermon? It matters to me what happens to you. But how do you keep showing that? What's happening when her heart is closing off or your friend's heart is closing off? What's going on there? So, again, it starts with, we're going to talk about it in the relationship of a husband and wife, but it's going to apply to many and any relationships. I also want to say that when thinking about our relationships with our family and our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ, that this is a two-way street. So even if we do what we ought to do, we still don't have a right to complain if someone else does not. Oh, the body of Christ ought to be doing this for me. The body of Christ ought to be doing that. Look, Jesus says when you do all that you know how to do, you're still an unprofitable servant. You did that what was your duty. So let's talk about this, because the ramifications of this verse, verse 25, let's read it again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so we see that and we think we've got a handle on that. We think we've got it all figured out. What does it say we're supposed to do? Gave himself up for her, so we have to be willing to die for our spouse. I'm willing to die for you, honey. I've done my duty. Like a Christian that says, I've repented. I've trusted Jesus. How about today? Many think they have a handle on it. You know, Steve, they think, okay, no one's going to come in and do anything to my wife. I sacrifice. I love her. I'm going to give myself up for her. We're supposed to be willing to die for our spouse. I'm willing to die. But this verse and what the New Testament teaches about this are far, far, far more than we usually think. I'm going to say some things again that are universally applicable to lots of situations today, so please listen up. One thing we need to know is that we're supposed to be an open book to her. You say, well, how does that relate to Jesus? Jesus is an open book. Here it is in my hands. Let me tell you, you know, you say, well, you know, you're saying I'm supposed to be an open book to my wife. Let me tell you something, you are. You're saying, what? What? Let me tell you how you are. Ladies, her heart begins to seal up when she sees that your heart is being stolen by something or someone else. Her heart begins to seal up when she can see something. If you, someone leaves, you get them the CD. Just tattoo it to their head. Her heart begins to seal up when she sees that your heart is being stolen by something or someone else. She might not know exactly why she knows or what she knows, but she knows something, even if you don't. She can read you like an open book. She knows when you are turning away from her. God allows it to be like that for her. And in that way, man, we are supposed to be like Jesus. We can see Jesus' heart, right? Where is it? It's like an open book, the Bible, in case you're missing the metaphor there. Now, ladies, you got to help with this. A man needs to feel respected. And if you want to feel your wife's admiration, guys, and support in your work, in your public life, and through all the seasons of life, like when you get sick before her, then you must meet her needs as well. You've got to take the lead. She is your precious jewel, your gift from God. In a sense, she is like a living parable telling on how you are doing with God. She's like that parable that Jesus gave of the talents and what we did with them. She is like your talent, can you hear me, that's been given by the Master. I'm just getting started. Got my 3 points? Are you listening? Because what I'm trying to do is tell you that this idea of loving wives has much more to do than just bottom line. We could have called this more than or better than just the bottom line. Because if we have the bottom line, that's one thing, but she wants you to be along with her the whole journey. That's the point, getting together on this thing. That's what a marriage is, coming together, living as one. If I could give you a way to do that, would you want it? And she elbows him and goes, yes, you do. A woman needs to feel security. She needs you to provide stability and direction as a spiritual leader, to initiate God's word into the cycle of daily life, to tell her, listen to me, to tell her she is meeting vital needs in your life and work that no other woman can. She needs to see and hear that you cherish her and delight in her as a person. Oh, I delight in you as a person. I got married to you, didn't I? What about who they're becoming now? Right? A man needs to show that he understands his wife by protecting her in her areas of limitations. He must set aside quality time for intimate conversation with his wife. He must be willing to serve his wife in encouraging and regular ways. Now, I know that's a lot that I just said. You said, yeah, I get it. But what if we had a way to keep winning her heart? How does Jesus keep winning ours? I'm going to meditate on this. We're going to focus on first is a point I just made. The point I said was this. A man needs to show and understand, needs to show that he understands his wife by protecting her in her areas of limitations. The first thing, what does Christ do for us? What are we supposed to do for our wives? Protection. Protection. Someone say it with me. Protection. You protect her. Now, here I am. I'm with Paul. It's Friday. And Paul and I are meditating and praying about this and, you know, thinking about it. And we think, you know, let's be honest. Paul and I have had particular problems with this verse. One, because I'm small. Two, because Paul is in a wheelchair. And so we think, oh, protect, protect. See, I can't really protect. Because if big old bad Peter comes in, I'm going to have a hard time. Right? He's not going to wheel up and be able to wheel away. You get my point? So we think protect. But see, there's something more than that in this verse. Because Jesus doesn't just give us the bottom line. He protects us in other ways. And so as we ponder this, as we thought about that, we think first, and men think, okay, because they're stronger and all that, I protect my wife. In other words, physically, I won't let some robber, and I will. I won't let some robber come in. If someone comes in right now and starts shooting up the place, I'm going to jump all, you know, over my wife, try to protect her. You know, men will try to protect their wives physically, but it's much more than just physically here. I'm talking about growing in Jesus. Are you ready? It does mean that. Yes, protect her physically, but oh, so much more. We need to protect her vulnerabilities. In other words, make her feel safe. That it's a safe place to grow around you. That means it's safe to make mistakes. Safe for her to say what she thinks. You know, as you're growing up in Jesus, Jesus doesn't look back on you and go, come on, you ought to know better by now. He says, come, my child, I love you. Let me help you. Are you hearing me? Think about Jesus. Think about you. Think about your wife. Everybody think about this. Safe to fail. Correction without condemnation. Correction without condemnation. Isn't that how Jesus grows us? There's no therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk by the Spirit and not after the flesh. Romans 1. Can I say it one more time? Correction without condemnation. Every time she says something, quote unquote, stupid, do you call her on it? Encouragement. A chance to say something stupid. Maybe she doesn't even get what it is all about. And when she says it, you're like, oh my God. Is that protecting her? Or is that poisoning her? Is that attacking her? Oh, but I don't. She ought to know better. She does not know better because every time you do it, you jump on it. Think about it. It's not just physical, it's emotional. You're made up differently, dude. It doesn't matter what some other dude says about you. But you've been hurt by your wife. And you're the stronger one. So what are all these little, you know, how do you chop down an oak tree? One swing or chip, 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 chip. What are you doing? Chip, 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 chip. Again, you're protecting her, not just physically, yes, physically. As best you can, but also emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, protection where she may feel weak or be concerned that you not hurt her on her terms. Not, well, she ought to know better than that. She knows I love her. No, she doesn't know it. Again, because you let her have it. You may protect her from others, but you fail to protect her from you. That's what she needs to feel safe, like she can mess up, like, you know, you'll die for her. You won't, you know, you'll die in embarrassment rather than make her look bad because you honor her. Again, you can protect her from everybody else in the world, but is she protected from you? Think about that. Let that sink in just for a second. Next time you want to retort back, well, come on. This is just the first point. Protect. So instead of feeling open to you, what happens? Oh, you don't notice it right away. She's not going to say anything. What's she going to do? Seal up. She turns off and turns to toleration of your apathy and harshness. What does that look like? I won't bother you about your thing if you won't bother me about mine. Called you, didn't I? What's that called? Is that called knitting together or is that called separate lives? Don't be a fool, dude. You think about it. If you're hearing that right now, you're hearing the voice of God telling you that. Get right. this can help you and help her. Again, men feel this too, ladies. Men feel this too. They'll shut up and they'll seem like everything is nice and everyone, and you won't know. Something will be wrong. You just can't put a finger on it. Then you start trying to guess all wild speculation, go to some psychologist and all that kind of garbage instead of letting God speak to you. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Not only did he give himself by dying, he gave himself by living. But again, men feel this too, ladies. When do they feel it? When you say things like, can't you just, shouldn't you have done this by now? Instead of trying to emphasize with his situation and his feelings. I told my wife when we got married, never say, can't you just. Because I hear it all the time. Can't you just do this? Couldn't you have just done that? Can't you just call the appliance repairman? No. Let Mr. Not-So-Handy work his way all the way through it and become satisfied till he wears himself out, then we'll call. Know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Protecting her vulnerabilities. Yes, you guys think that, well, she shouldn't have to. Too bad she does. And if it's a problem to her, then it's a problem for you, dude. I should have called this. This is going to crack some skulls. I'm telling you. Protect her. You're in public and you're making fun of her? You idiot. It makes you, anybody that knows better, it makes you know. What are you writing on Facebook, lady? You know what I'm saying? Come on, folks. Protect one another. We're supposed to feel safe around each other more than anybody else. And your best friend is that way. And the people in your family and your church family and all that. Okay, so you have some cockamamie ideas. I just need to help and teach you, not say, you're so stupid. Right? Feel safe. Yes, we want to learn. Yes, we want to grow. Yes, we don't want to remain ignorant. But we need to be able to learn. Now, again, this is just the first point. Protecting her doesn't mean irresponsible leadership. You see, we get closed off, and this is what happens. We're not really engaged. We're passive. Oh, we're thoroughly self-centered. But it appears to others as a loving and devoted husband. May even appear to be a stable and a well-tempered man, but he's emotionally detached. He may be a workaholic and think his efforts to bring home the bacon remove him from his responsibilities to love in the other ways we have and will talk about. But it also doesn't mean tyrannical leadership. In other words, a bully, a dictator. Nothing happens without his approval. Oh, I'm in the lead. I'm in the charge. And he's just living to say no. Whenever his wife dares to question his authority or decisions, he resorts to intimidation tactics and might even show fits of rage. Should I close my eyes and tell you I know where the bullseye goes? Guys, if it's obvious to me, believe me, it's obvious to her. Now again, this guy might be a workaholic and be living under constant pressure. And he blows off steam at the family. Or if he realizes this isn't good, but he doesn't know what to do, what does he do? He goes out amongst his friends and he medicates that way, saying, well, I work hard, so I deserve to play hard. Let me say something. I say this to women all the time. I'm going to say it to men too. If you're failing in your relationship with your wife, it's an indication of your failure as a disciple of Christ. Now, if I came right to you, dude, and I said, look, you are failing radically as a disciple of Jesus Christ and in the relationship with your wife, you'd go, hey, wait a minute, man. Why are you being so harsh? Tell me about all the good stuff. Why do you come full frontal assault with all the heavy machinery and not tell me the good things? Why just all the bad things? You're right. I wouldn't necessarily do that, right? I shouldn't do that. That's a little harsh. That's not the way it should be, right? Well, then tell me that. About your wife. If I'm supposed to care about your feelings as a man, and believe me, we're not married, why should you then not care about your wife's feeling instead of just telling her, get over it? Just get over it. I can't believe you. Oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. What are you, stupid? Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, you know better than that. Protect her instead. Even if she says something that isn't right, protect her. Make her feel safe to grow. Otherwise, she won't. It's on you. It's on you, guys. You say, oh, her growth's on her. Well, yeah, responsibility, but the responsibility to be right and give the right atmosphere is on you. Just like Jesus. Right? Jesus did these things, and that's why God has allowed and God does change our hearts. protect her instead. Make her feel safe. See, we are in Jesus and we flub up and we drop the football and he says, you're still in the game. Here's the football. Run on. We even put a different jersey on for the other team. We start running the other way and he says, hold on, horse collars us, has to bring us down, puts a new shirt on and go, no, get back in the game, go this way. And every time we mess up, he still loves us and says, come on back. Are you that way with your wife? Because if she doesn't feel that, she's going to slowly close off and then you just have this separate lives thing. Well, I have my friends, he has her friends, and you justify it. You're not together because she doesn't feel safe. And God forbid she runs into the arms of a man where she does feel safe. There's a lot of people that know this and are using it in an evil sense. There's a lot of good rebounders out there, guys. Well, I just don't like her anyway. She can just leave. Let me tell you something. This message today can help you pull the love out of somebody by planting the love in them. So we could call it that too. But that's the first point. Protect. What's the second one? We're like the marriage police here. Serve. Serve. We save the best for last, by the way. There's three and this is two. Serve. Look at Colossians 3:19. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Here's Paul, not married, writing this from prison. Oh boy. Colossians 3:19, are you with me? What does it say? GP, are you with me? Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And your Bible may say, do not be bitter against them. It's a man, are you listening, guys? It's a man's responsibility to make the adjustments necessary for her emotional well-being. When it talks about harsh, it talks about bitterness. What are those? Those are emotions. And so you can't show the negative emotions even if she has them. You have to learn her up like Jesus does us. You can't be bitter against the process. You find out what makes her tick. You are the one that's in the lead. Oh, do you think it's all good now? God, you know, women, submit. Guys, serve. Everywhere where there's a command to submit, there's always a command to serve. You look it out. Woo. Are you with me? Somebody. Yeah. It's the man's responsibility to make the adjustments necessary for emotional well-being. And if that means putting her in a cocoon because she's just a panic and a nervous wreck, you have to protect her, not say, well, she's this way, she's that way. She's my wife, I love her, and help her in that. If she feels afraid already, how's she going to feel afraid if you don't tell, you know what I'm saying? If you're revealing her heart to everybody else, her heart's between you and her. Woo. She's to submit, yes, but he's to serve. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Bottom line, and gave himself for her. But it doesn't just mean the cross, folks. It means the whole life. He didn't just come and die. He came and lived and then died. Are you hearing me? This love that it says here, husbands, love your wives, right? And don't be bitter against them. Don't be harsh against them. That love is what's called the present active imperative. Present tense, now. Active voice, you're doing it. Imperative mood, it's a command. It's a command. Do it right now. Do it right now. You see, because what happens is men go, I love her. Nothing's going to happen. But it's not just the one time I love her. It's an ongoing act of command. Best part's coming. To keep on loving her, and loving means learning. Not just that you married her, not just that you provide financially, not just that you bring up her children. Serving is more. It means finding out, leaving no stone unturned, getting to know her absolutely and thoroughly like no one else ever could, even herself, because she needs you to do it. Doesn't mean doing everything they ever want. Jesus doesn't do that for us, but it does mean being so in tune with God that we will always be thinking of what is best, regardless of what it costs to us. It's a high calling indeed, and only God can help you do that. Only accomplished by grace. But with God's help, we can learn to serve our wives as Christ served the church. You can't be harsh with them. You can't just say, well, what's it that you want? What will make you happy? You have to discover it, and she doesn't know what it is yet either. She wants you to be with her, so you do it, because you can ask, well, what is it that you want? And you know what you're going to hear just as loud back? I don't know. I know I'm right about that one. Think about Jesus and how his bride often acts. Not even as nice as your wife. His bride doesn't want to cooperate all that well, and he doesn't just yell at her and say, well, what is it that you want? He's patient, he's kind, he's peaceful, he's ready to find out and give what it takes, provided it's in our best interest. And he's so close to the Father, he knows exactly what that is. And she trusts him because he's with her the whole way, so she trusts his when he says no. And if you're not trusting Jesus when he says no, it's because you're not close enough. And I'm showing you men and women and everybody how to get closer to him today. I'm hoping you're hearing this. Man, your job is to get so close to God you don't foul this thing up too bad. And not be bitter that you have to learn what makes your bride bloom in every situation. The truth is that she just wants you to be with her. Not just in the same house, not just in the same bed, not just with the same checkbook, not just with the same children, but in all the weaknesses of her life, you are protecting and serving her. She's your job. You got to do it the way she wants it, the way she needs it. Serve her. Let's think about Jesus. Jesus gave his life. Again, not just that he died, but that he lived. You know those temptations that he gave, Satan gave him in Matthew 4? 1 through 11, turn the stones to bread, jump off the top of the temple and you won't die. If you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You see, Jesus, he didn't take the easy way out. He had to go through the whole course. You know, it says turn the stones into bread. You think that as soon as he did that, that Satan would have said, ha ha, now I've got you. You know what he would have said instead? He would have said, now feed the world. Think about it. Jesus could have ended world hunger when he was here, just like that. How many people did he feed here and there? Why didn't he go around doing that? Right? Jesus could have ended all the temporal suffering. I could fly around. I could jump down. Nothing can hurt me. I can make sure nothing hurts you. Jesus could have ended all the political tyranny. They were hoping that he was a Roman, that he was going to overthrow Rome. That's why they crucified him, partly because the people thought, well, is he going to deliver us or not? And Satan said, I'll give you all the kings of the world if you bow down to my name. He could have ended all the political tyranny, ended all the human suffering, ended all the hunger in the world. But he didn't do that, did he? Did he? He went the whole way because there was more to get than meets the eye. And so guys, every time you say, well, just tell me what to do, and she's had enough of it. She goes, okay, just do this. And she's still not happy? You want to know why? And it's not just a matter of asking her, it's a matter of going with her. Yeah, this takes a lot. You got to squeeze out every little thing with everything that you got, and then she knows you're going to be there no matter what, and that's how you prove your love to her. But that sounds like a lot. You shouldn't have took your vows. You thought is, I buy the cars, I buy the candy, I give the children, and then I can just do you know what as much as I want, and that's it. And you were wrong. Oh, you can get to the toleration place. So many people are on the toleration place. They have separate lives. They have their little things going, their little hobbies, this, that, and the other thing. And they're really not getting any closer to their wife. Oh, they could even name all her clothes and all that, but they wouldn't know what she really wants. Because part of her finding out what she really wants is you going there with her and finding it. Come on. That's worth the price of admission. Are you hearing me? See, again, Jesus could have ended all these things, but those were the temptations of the devil. The timing was not right. God the Father's plan may not seem as good or loving right now, but in the end, it's the best way. The only way. Jesus could have taken care of all the lack, all the doubt, all the tyranny, but he went the way of the cross. He died for sin once for all, but he lives to make intercession for us right now. His love for us wasn't just one thing he did on the cross. It's an ongoing commitment. Why should it be any different for our love for our wife? Jesus now shares his life with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to share our lives, oh listen, our whole life with our whole wife. If she's not whole, W-H-O-L-E, it may be partly because of you. You pull the love out of her by planning the love for her. A man is like the marriage police, not constantly giving her a ticket for some supposed infraction, but serve and protect. Serve and protect. He's a peace officer. You want to make peace? Serve and protect. Present tense all the way, like she needs it. If she thinks there's ghosts in the room and there isn't, you still protect her from the ghosts. Dude, do you get what I'm saying? Not just, there isn't any ghosts, grow up. For her to grow up, you gotta grow up and get in there and do what you don't want to do, and she needs to see you doing it. That's what drives love into her. That comes our last point. Protect, serve. And now the bottom line. Now we get there. And he gave himself up for sacrifice. Protect, serve, sacrifice. Woo! This is hot. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, he says, I'm not seeking yours, in other words, your stuff, your mind, all this. I'm seeking you, all of you. No stone unturned. So there's something she wants? No stone unturned. Not that every little material thing, but if there's something that she needs to share, she needs to get out, there's some fear, some phobia, some weakness, some vulnerability, you make her feel safe, and you serve her, try to fix that, and if you have to sacrifice some of you for her, you do it. Amen. She needs to see you go all out for something that she wants that's difficult for you. It shows that you think she's worth it. But that thing, I have to do all this just for you to get that little thing? I do it because I love you, and I'm going to show you and prove it. Any guy can give her children. Any guy can put a roof over her head. Any guy can stop a bullet. But only one is made to dive into her soul and find her deepest person in there. And Jesus is there with her saying, what took you so long? Of course, it's the whole life. Are you on a journey with her? Or are you just doing stuff for her so you can get stuff from her? This ain't marriage 101, although it ought to be. You may not feel like it. This thing that she needs, that you're finding out together. You may not feel like it, but your desires and hers might change along the way. If you will go all out for her, and she feels that, then God will use that to mold her. And along the way, you develop togetherness by being together in a thing that builds intimacy. And you know what I mean by that. You're becoming one flesh in a real way. The world feels this. The world doesn't know what's going on, but they do this. You want to know how? You ever see people, a man and a woman, they may even be married or with somebody else, and they work on a movie together? Then all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, what happens? They're together. Why? It was just fantasy. But they worked on this project. They were there together. They spent close time together. They were saying, let's work on this part. Let's do this. They're working together and they're working themselves together. Now that thing goes up. That's what you're supposed to be doing with your wife. Learning everything about her. Not just as a set of facts. But so much so that God has given you this grace where if you get in there, you can have the intuitive powers that a woman has and be able to tell her what she needs. And see, then you're one flesh. The man and the woman. Wow. Team 100, sometimes it's 97.3, sometimes it's 397, sometimes it's 98.2, sometimes it's 81.9, sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes it's 51-49, who knows? But you don't know. Are you on that journey with your wife? Yeah, some of you guys are doing a great job, but we can do even more. Yeah. Next time we hear that, it's like, here is an opportunity to show my love and to grow my love. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does for us. As how do you drop sin? Let's be real. Let's be real. Not just fear, oh no, because you're saved. He forgave it. It's already forgiven. He forgave you before you did it, based on the cross of Christ. It's in his personality. It's in his character. It's in his essence. But how do you really start dropping that thing? You see, Jesus is better than that toy. You know, if I had a dog in front of me right now, and it's a big, bad dog, and it had a big old bone in its mouth, and I tried to pull on that bone, guess what happens? But if I had me a nice porterhouse, 2 inches thick, Dan's going to come get it first before the dog. And I'm holding that porterhouse out, and I just start waving in front of that dog. What's going to happen? That dog is going to lose that bone. It's not even going to think about that bone ever again, and it's going to eat that steak in my hand with it. That is what we need to see about Jesus. He's more big. He's more beautiful. He's more everything. That's why we read our Bible, pray, and congregate together and worship and sing and all of it. So we can see Jesus as bigger. Are you with me? You work yourselves together, and then that thing works together. Not just, I'm doing my part, you do your part. Look, I've done my part, why don't you do your part? That's not together. That's like good roommates or something. Again, any guy can put a roof over a head. And you might not be able to do some of these things, but there's something you can do. So even if you don't have a job, even if you don't have your health, even if you don't have this great life, that's not what she really wants. She wants to be with you no matter what the thing is.
Yes.
And she might even say, no, I really want this, that, and the other thing. Well, maybe she married the wrong guy, but you can turn her. You can change her. You can get down in that soul, pull it out and say, we can be who we are no matter what it is. Isn't it when you were dating a person? I mean, finally the guy ran out of money and all that after taking you to all the nice places. Then it just came down to, I just like to be with him where we are, and wherever we are, that's the place to be. See, my wife and I, you know, we could be at a party, we could be in front of the president, we could be here, we say, that's a nice place. But what really is when I'm just with her. That's the place to be in my universe. It's me, her, and Jesus. Yay. Does she really know that about you, feel that way about you? You can make it happen. You can get there. This is positive. Protect, serve, sacrifice. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's how we die to ourselves and live for God, by not insisting on our rights. I did my part. Your part's the whole thing. I give up my thing for your thing. Again, remember our sermon, This is How to Open a Heart. Remember the little catchphrase that we used? It caught on. It matters to me what happens to you. It matters to me what happens to you. We're talking about opening a heart, someone else's heart. Well, how do you demonstrate that? Once you open, how do you demonstrate it? How do you show it? You let it be seen that you're suffering for her cause. I care. It's worth it to me. You do for her what you will do for no one else. And if there's things that you're doing for other people that she doesn't show, that's just unequal, you've got to find a way to do something that you will do for her that you won't do for anybody else. And when she doesn't feel that, that's why she's closing off. And she can't tell you why. You got to do it, man. I love you. If she can't even tell you why, you've got to go inside of her and pull that thing out. For the sake of your marriage. For the sake of Christ. This will turn you into somebody totally new. You want to feel the power of God? Go all the way with all you know and trust God. He'll squeeze you to death. You'll do for her what you'll do for no one else. I'm with you in this thing all the way, no matter how much it hurts. So we said, it matters to me what happens to you. Here we go. It's worth it to me to suffer for you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It's worth it to me to suffer for you. Jesus tells us we're supposed to lose our lives to find him. To experience more of him, we need less of us. And that's most readily available in what situation? With your wife, with your spouse. Not simply, I would lay down my life. Or, I will lay down my life. Or, I have laid down my life. But I am right now laying down my life. You're building your trust in you. You're in this together, trusting each other all the way. That's how we learn to trust God. Now, this is for everybody. Listen. Realize that truly trusting God doesn't mean trusting that he will give me what I want, but trusting him that we will accept what he wants. You don't buy a 300,000 square foot house today. I'm trusting God. That's not trusting God. That's testing God. You go as far as you can with as much as you know and trust God that he will do what is right. And even if, and see, you think, but he's closing the door, he's closing the door. No, you keep doing it. If you really want that thing, don't leave any stone unturned. Go there. And then if it doesn't work, at least she will have seen you go the whole way with her. She knows she can trust you completely. Believe me, you want to talk about intimacy? That's what's missing, dude. There's parts of her she can't even give to you because she doesn't even know they exist. Your job. Christ reached into our heart when we were so depraved. We thought, oh, I know I'm a sinner. But then we realize just how bad sin is and how much of a sinner we are against God. And then we see how big, hallelujah, what a savior. I'm finishing up now. We go as far as we can with as much as we know and trust God will do what is right. And even if it isn't what we want, God will help us see that it is right. She's got to see us try and see it through. Sometimes the answer is right at the end of the line, like me and my, you know, turning the laundry thing, the dryer. Again, when it seems like all the doors are closed, even when the door isn't open, there's still a crack on the bottom near the floor, and God can flatten you and slide you on through. You really want that thing? She really wants that thing? She needs to not hear you dismiss her. She doesn't need to hear you say, well, we can't afford that. Not necessarily material things. Or this isn't right, this isn't this. She needs to say, oh, you need to say, okay, I'm in this with you. We're going to find out together if this is worth it or not, but I'll go all the way. And hope that she changes and you change in the middle of that. And you will. Because you're together. God wants to change you together. You're now one flesh. You don't just work on my spiritual life, her spiritual life. Her spiritual life, my spiritual life. It's our. Don't you want to trust a truth that no matter what, who do you want in the foxhole with you? You know the guy that's all life and he's all country and he's all God and he knows where he's going and he'll jump in front of that thing because he knows where he's going and he knows you don't know yet and so he needs to die because he knows where he's going and he doesn't know where you're going. Trust Jesus, bang, 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 whatever. Are you protecting your wife? Are you serving your wife? Will you sacrifice for her all the time on things that she wants? Not saying these crazy desires, I want to be a hula dancer, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if she thinks, I want to try this thing, you don't just dismiss it, oh, that's nuts, not silly. What's that doing? It matters to me what happens to you, but how do you prove that? It's worth it to me to suffer for you. God changes hearts because Jesus did what he did. Why does God change hearts? Because Jesus gave himself up for us. So God changes hearts. We need to think about this text. Realize what the New Testament says about marriage and spiritual leadership with our spouse and in our home, and realize it's the same for us. If you give your all for her, if you do all you have with all you've got, it doesn't matter how much. That's not the point. She's not saying, if you don't get to this point, she's saying, will you do all you have with all you have now? Because then you could be a millionaire and all this, and you're not going to give me 100% then either. I'd rather have 100% of all somebody that doesn't seem to be much in the eyes world, but is someone in my world, than have this great life and the person be, you know, and then all I'm doing is placating myself with toys. If they took away your phone, if they took away your friends, if they took away your family, if they took away everything but your spouse, your home, and everything else. This is what happened in the first century to the Christians. They took away everything, but they still had Jesus. And we need to look at that way in our marriage. That's the person that matters most besides the Lord Jesus Christ. My showing of my love for Jesus starts with my showing my love for... You say, oh, I'll do anything for Jesus. You won't even do it for your wife or your husband. Let's turn it around a little bit. But if you do all that you have with all that you know, you will see how God changes you, changes your wants, meets your needs, and brings you together in a way you never even dreamed could be possible. And it couldn't until God changed your heart. But if you allow him to change your heart, you will once again win her heart. Because God will change her heart too. You want to see her change, then you change and go all the way with her, and then she can see it's either good or not, and God will change you and change her and change both of you. And then you'll be happy. That's the person that you want to be with when you get married, is the person that you can go all the way to if it's a -9 or a +9. Not, oh, it's all, we never have a fight. You will. And if you don't, you lie. You're living separate lives. You can't get knitted together without twisting and turning. Right. Knit one, purl two, imagine the string. Ah! You're bending me out of shape. Don't you think we're supposed to get bent out of shape? We're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. Are you in the image of Christ right now? No. So if you're to be conformed, what's the potter got to do? Yep. Smash the clay. But if you get hardened, I'm doing my duty. Here you are getting hardened. And she's doing it and she doesn't even know why. You're the reason. I want to do something, okay? Protect, serve, sacrifice. It's worth it to me to suffer for you. God will change her heart too. You guide her, you guard her, you gift her, and God will gather her, all of her, into your heart, and all of you into hers. so you can truly live as one flesh. Have the heart of Christ for your wife. Protect. Serve. Sacrifice. That is how you love someone. It matters to me what happens to you. It's worth it for me to suffer for you. Thank Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting, serving, and suffering for us. May we continue to be changed by your love. Father, well, I do believe you sure got in the kitchen today. Do the cooking. Help us be changed. Help us to see the meal as the most sweet and adorable and wonderful thing. And our wives and our lives and what we get to do for Christ in our relationships that way. In Jesus' name, amen.